Is he part of the government? No. That's Jack Vail. He's put together a series of videos basically just messing with people because we live under that worry or that assumption that we're just always being watched, the camera on, our cell phones always keeping track of what we're doing. The government can listen to anything that we say. And he preys on that with people in stores. And so whatever that might be, conspiracy theories to nuclear war to maybe a spider in your bed, we all have worries, right? Like, there's plenty of things, and the list goes on and on and on of the things that we can be caught up in. A preacher, Chuck Swindoll, said this at one point. He said, "Worries can be mental monsters that crawl into our head, and then they go to bed with us and steal our sleep. Some worries never seem to take a vacation. Some worries never seem to take a vacation. Once they're there, it just seems like they're there." Speaking of corporations tracking us, right? The company Amazon keeps track of all the books that we read electronically. And even goes as far as if somebody highlights something in a book, they like to know that too, and they compile a list. And on this list was the Bible. And of all the verses that people highlighted, you know what the most popular verse in 2017 was that was highlighted? It wasn't John 3:16. It wasn't even Psalm 23. It was Philippians. It was in Philippians. It was in chapter 4. And it wasn't even verse 13, right? That's, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," which we like to put up. But I always kind of make fun of people when they quote that verse because I'm like, you're missing so much more that Paul writes before it. And it was verses 6 and 7 in chapter 4. And they read this way. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." I think a lot of people, a lot of us, we're looking for peace. I think we've been in this series with tough questions, a lot of those questions that we have that are tough. At the end of the day, we're looking for a peace. We're looking for a calmness, an answer that we can hold on to when things in our life just don't make sense or they're not going the way that we planned. And so I've labeled today's sermon just about so what. So what, right? We've talked about some of these questions. We've kind of maybe got it clear enough for it to not make any sense. So what? Well, the big thing that I want us to come back to, the answers to that, is that we have peace. I want you to leave here with an idea of the God that we serve, the God that is in control and is always going to be in control, and gives us that peace the way that Paul was talking to us about. You see, my thought process has kind of started with a really simple prayer that I was taught as a kid, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard it. God is good, God is great. You say that really quick before mealtime so you can just dive into the food, right? Like, God is good, God is great. Food time! All right. But I have a feeling that for some of you, it's not as easy, right? It's not as simple of a prayer. Because when you hear God is good, something doesn't sit right. Because of a life experience or things that you've gone through, you have a hard time believing that God is really good. And I would say understandably so. Understandably so that would almost be hard for you to hear. Because you see, there's kind of been this teachings around God being good and God being brought into things that He really has no part of. So I want to tell you today, I want you to hear, God didn't create pain. In fact, He doesn't want anything to do with it. And people drag God into tragedy, sickness, accidents, and death. I've heard the cliches at funerals, and people mean well. Sometimes they bring God into something that goes against the very character and the nature of who He is. And I want to tell you today that God is good. He's good. And I think it's important and it's even critical that in the midst of our badness, ask God with His goodness to invade that a little bit. I want you also to leave today knowing that you're loved. God just wants to have a relationship with you. It's the most important thing to Him. You can bring your anxiety, your anger, your depression, your worries, and yes, even your tough questions because He's big enough. And He's not intimidated by them. He just wants you to run to Him. It's come to my attention recently, and I have to firmly agree that I'm a whiner. I do it with the best of them, and especially at home. It feels like there's this barrier that breaks down as soon as I walk through the door, and I can just complain and whine And it's bad. You wouldn't know it, but it's true. And I've been in this moment where I've been questioning God a lot. And He's actually been listening to my whininess the most. God, how could you do this? God, this doesn't make sense to me. God, why? And the interesting thing is I've been reading Job through this time. Some of you have with our Bible reading plan. And it's taught me some things. Most of my sermon was already ready this week. And I committed a lot of my time to prayer. And you can guess, right, because we're in church, the right answer, the byproduct of a lot of prayer was peace. Just like Paul told us in Philippians, just like that verse that so many people highlighted in 2017. But for almost 37 chapters, Job's life isn't going very well. And he's questioning God a lot. And towards the end of his life, he's lost his family, his finances, his health. And his friends have all gathered around him to say, just throw in the towel, Job. Just give up on God. Clearly he's forsaken you, so just leave him. And in the 38th chapter, though, of Job, God shows up. And he enters into this dialogue with Job. Pretty one-sided, though, because he asks some pretty tough questions of his own. And he doesn't talk to his friends, he talks to Job. And this is God talking to him. And he says this, "Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much. Who decided on its size? Certainly you'll know that. Who came up with the blueprints and the measurements? And who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds and tucked it in safely at night. And then I made a playpen for it, a strong playpen so it couldn't run loose. And he said this to the ocean, 'Stay here, this is your place. Your wild tantrums are confined to this place.' And have you ever ordered morning, get up? Told dawn to get to work? Do you know where light comes from and where darkness lives so you can take them by the hand and lead them home when they get lost? Have you ever traveled to where snow is made or seen the vault where hail is stockpiled? Can you find your way to where lightning is launched or to the place from which the wind blows? Can you take charge of the lightning bolts and have them report to you for orders? Does anyone know enough to number all the clouds or tip over the rain barrels of heaven when the earth is cracked and dry and the ground baked hard as a brick?" And on and on and on, the questions from God come to Job and the statements from God come to Job. And I love how the Message version states this, that when Job finally talks and opens his mouth to God, he says this, "I've talked too much, way too much. I'm ready to shut up and listen." See, at some point in all of our lives, we struggle with this idea that we can do a better job than God. I want to show you something that's kind of stuck with me, that's helped me with a lot of the times that I have this tough question in my life come up. Because in the beginning, right, in this concept that we can't understand because God wasn't created, God just was, there was God. And I apologize in advance because maybe I can public speak it, but I can't draw. All right, so we'll make them like, ah, so this will be the lights, right? And this is God and all of his glory and things that we can't understand. And he decides to make us in creation. So, make us. Look at that. Crushed it. We'll make that David. That's why I'm narrating so you can understand what the scribbles are. And he desired a relationship with us. And so we entered into that. And to protect us, he made this barrier. He made this barrier, right? This edge of understanding. Because anything past that, it's kind of like, if this is, no, I'm not even going to draw a brain, that's going to go bad. That was our brain, it would just go, right? Like, we can't understand things past here because we're not God. See, God was our creator and we are his creation. And this natural order of things began to exist where we were the image bearers of God. And then you know, a lot of you know what happens is that Satan came and he started to whisper and started to say, "Well, that doesn't make sense. Why are there things up here that you don't know? You were made in God's image, So that means you have some God qualities, right? So instead of it being like this, shouldn't it be like this? Shouldn't you be equals? And he started to say that you belong up here. See, this has been Satan's game plan all along. And in fact, that's what Satan even believed himself. Truth of the matter is I don't want that job. And a lot of the times, if my questions aren't coming between me and God, then I really don't think they're a salvation issue. It's a mankind issue. And a lot of the times, it's just going to be a man trying to answer a question that the best we can give you an opinion. See, at some point, I need the reminder of two things. One, I need to resign as the manager of the universe. All right? I don't know if you guys know about this, but if I'm in control, it's not going very well. And secondly, I need to lose my need to always be right about something. You can ask my wife that. I argue things that don't matter sometimes. J. Vernon McGee said it this way, an old minister said, "This is God's universe, and he does things his way. You might think you can do a better job, but you don't have a universe." There are times where my heart hurts. There are times that things don't make sense. And it comes down to this very basic discipline that I want to spend the rest of our time together this morning going through. It's prayer, being quiet, and God's Word. So if you'd allow me, instead of just telling you this morning, telling you that you're loved and there's a reason for you to have peace, I would love to show you. I'd love to show you this giant narrative that we get to enter into and be a part of. And I hope, and you guys got a lot of space today, right? I'm not hoping you fill it up with a bunch of notes in your outline, but write down a book or two that you're going to spend more time in that you need to hear these things. Genesis. Family. God is saying to you through this text that I created you. I created you to be a part of the family. So even if you feel like you are all alone, friends, you are not alone. And you can ask Noah, Abraham, and Joseph, and they will tell you that I am a good, good father, and you can count on me. Exodus. Deliverance. God is saying to you, I parted the Red Sea so my children could be set free from slavery to enjoy the abundant life. I know what challenges you are facing in your life, and I want you to know that I am not scared of them. I am not losing sleep over them. Nothing is too big for me, and I want to help you. Leviticus, law. The laws I have given you are meant to protect you and guide you to a great life. The last thing I want to do is to control your life or to see you get hurt. Numbers, wandering. I will not force myself on you. I will let you live how you want to live. And even if it means watching you fall or stumble or get lost along the way, just ask Israel about this. I will never, ever let you out of my sight. Deuteronomy, obedience. Wise people, they learn from their mistakes. And that joy I want to give you and the freedom that you want to experience comes through obedience. And Moses will tell you firsthand that I reward humility, not stubbornness. Joshua, risk. The best views are close to the edge of the cliff. And that's exactly where I want to lead you. Eventually, you'll have to replace the fear in your head with the faith in your heart. Joshua and his buddies learned that risk is always, always followed by reward. Judges, leadership. With great power comes great responsibility. Nothing happens without leadership. Some leaders are good. Some leaders are bad. All leadership has consequences. So choose your leaders wisely. Ruth, redemption. Whatever you've lost, whatever has been taken from you, I can redeem it. I can renew it, and I can even make it better than it was before. And that is even true for those of you that have suffered great loss, especially those of you that are widows. 1 Samuel through 2 Chronicles, sovereign. For thousands of years, I have allowed people to rule the earth, and they have made a mess of it. That is why I keep my hands firmly on the steering wheel and never abandon my place in the driver's seat. This is my world, and ultimately, I am in control. No one can unbolt my throne from the floor or remove the crown from my head. I will have my way, no matter what happens on earth. So please remember that, no matter who our president is. Ezra, restoration. Maybe you've gone through a dry spell. Well, hey, one of the best ways to get your life back on track is just to read the Bible. Ezra knew this, and he read it publicly and privately. And I blessed him and those who heard him. Friends, you will hear from me every time you spend time in my word. Nehemiah, reconstruction. Maybe your life is completely undone, and you're left looking at the rubble wondering, can anything be done? Can anything be saved from the wreckage? If you give me your PIN number and your permission, I can rebuild your life and even make it stronger than it was. Esther, providence. I always have a plan, always. And even though my name is never mentioned in this book, I'm involved in every detail of the story. Esther trusted me with her entire heart, and I rewarded her and many others because of her trust. Job, trust. Speaking of trust, have I told you that I'm proud of Job? Job will tell you not to quit. When you feel like giving up, spend some time with Job. Feel sorry for yourself, spend some time with Job. And when you don't think you can take it anymore, spend some time with Job. He will remind you that suffering is a part of God's character curriculum. And it's really good for whiners. Psalms, worship. Sometimes the last thing that you feel like doing is the one thing you need to do. I love to hear you sing. And when you cry out, I move in. Morning, noon, or night, my eyes are always on you, and my ears are always, always, always attentive to you. Proverbs, wisdom. When I asked Solomon what he wanted, he didn't say a bigger house with a Porsche parked in the garage. He asked for wisdom. And if you read this book, you will see that I gave him exactly what he asked for. Ecclesiastes, perspective. Don't invest one penny or 1 minute in things that don't matter. Solomon had everything that money could buy, and no one had buyer's remorse like he did. That's why if you're headed to college, you should spend some time reading and understanding this diary entry. Songs of Solomon, intimacy. If you want to know my plan for relationships, here it is. From dating to engagement to marriage, there isn't a better book on human sexuality than this one. I created sex, and even I blushed a little when I read about it. Isaiah, salvation. 700 years before my son was born, I wanted the world to know my heart. My main man, Isaiah, spends the first 39 chapters telling me what Israel deserved because of their sin. But then he spends the final 27 chapters telling me what they will receive because of my love for them. This book can bring a tear to your eye, but also put a smile on your face. Jeremiah, captivity. Jeremiah was really young when I tapped him on the shoulder. And I can understand him being scared to deliver the unpopular message I gave him. His knees were weak as he stepped up to the mic to let Israel know that the more a nation distances itself from me, the more destruction it will experience. Lamentations, sorrow. As Jeremiah stood in the rubble and the debris of the city he loved, honestly, it was hard to watch him cry. His tears were genuine, and his sadness was to be expected. But he knows I don't like sin. And that's why I was so proud of him when he raised his eyes to heaven and said, "Great is your faithfulness, O God. Your mercies really are new every morning." Ezekiel, revival. I've asked people to do some weird things over the years, but nothing compares to having Ezekiel lay naked on his side for 390 days. To his credit, he did it. And that's why I took dry bones and breathed new life into them. You see, I love turning deserts into jungles, hard hearts into soft hearts, and I love to see stories come to life in Kalkaska. Daniel, refinement. Now this book, this one right here, it should be required reading for every person on the planet until they reach about 30 or so. If you want to know how to remain pure in a filthy world, well then Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego will tutor you free of charge. Minor prophets, repentance. I hate sin. The reason I hate sin is the way that it affects my relationship with people. See, I can't live where sin lives. So I chose 12 different prophets, and I used every metaphor I could think of to help people understand that the further water gets from its source, the muddier it becomes. And the same is true for the human heart. Please stay close to me, and your heart will stay pure. And then this, 400 years. 400 years of silence. 400 years where the God of the universe didn't reveal himself to mankind. 400 years of waiting in anticipation. 400 years where the human heart longed to hear something more from God. And this time he makes up for lost time. And instead of speaking up, God shows up. Matthew, surprise. Wanted to sneak in the back door. I mean, God in the belly of a virgin? Really? God in a manger, God in human skin. No one saw it coming. I wanted to see the world through the eyes of the people I would save. I wanted to experience the challenge and the struggle of being human. Mark, power. And at the same time, I wanted to help people. So I used my power for their good. You see, I didn't create people to be blind, crippled, or to die. So to heal them and bring them back to life, man, it was an absolute blast for me. I want people to see a day that is coming where hospitals and funerals are going to go out of business. Luke, inclusion. And I love the people that everyone else hates. Maybe no one likes you. Maybe no one invites you to social gatherings. Don't let it get you down, because your name, it's on my invitation list. And you don't have to change who you are in order to fit in with my circle of friends. My front door is always open, and there is always a seat for you at my table. John, love. I wanted to back up my words with action. That's why I spent time with Nicodemus one day and a Samaritan woman the next day. That's why I went to a cross. Now, some people will tell you that they love you, but I really do. No greater love exists than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And that's what you are to me, a friend. Acts, mission. I told my initial group of friends that it was better for me to leave so that the Spirit could come. I mean, living with you, it could never be as good as living in you. I sent my Spirit to live in you so that he could lead you to people. And people, they need to know more about me. So I'm sending you to invade others with hope. The world is in short supply of hope. This world is starving for hope. And you have it. So please, please don't hoard it. Don't keep it for yourself. Give it away. Romans, grace. Quit trying to impress me. Quit trying to prove to me that you're good enough. I did the heavy lifting. I removed your sin once and for all. So take a deep breath right now and enjoy your new life. If you have to, read the 8th chapter. Commit it to memory. Because nothing in all of creation is ever going to separate you from my love. I have your back. 1 and 2 Corinthians. Unity. You think you belong to a messed up church? This church had a man sleeping with his mother-in-law, people getting drunk off of communion wine, and having issues with where to buy their meat? I called you to be different from the world for a reason. Be united around my love. But don't ever abuse it. Galatians, freedom. When you let my Spirit lead your life, it will lead you away from spiritual bondage and toward spiritual freedom. Sin loves to hold you hostage and make you a slave to its every desire. But I want you to be free from this hell. Ephesians, imitation. Imitation really is the highest form of flattery. And when you imitate my love in your life, every relationship you have gets healthier. So submit to me and submit to one another. And I mean genuinely treat other people better than they deserve to be treated. And I promise you, all of your relationships will get better. Philippians, joy. I told Paul to use the word joy a lot in this letter. Honestly, he went a little overboard by using it 14 times. But he got my point across. In a world soaked and saturated with sadness, my joy in your life will be contagious. Nothing captures heaven on earth more than my joy seeping out of the pores of your life. Colossians, enough. Don't add to Jesus. Don't subtract from Jesus. What he did on the cross, what he did in the tomb, it's enough. It is worthy of a promotion. So I've made Jesus the head over all creation. You would be wise to make him the ruler of your life. 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Hope. Every church has its challenges, but nothing will rock the boat quite like persecution. Kalkaska Church of Christ, if the government ever turns against you, do not lose sight of eternity. Don't sacrifice what you have waiting in heaven for what we have here on earth. 1 and 2 Timothy, character. If you own a business, lead an organization, coach a team, and you're looking for a grid of what to look for in people that you hire, employ, work with, or play alongside, Paul's advice to Timothy is always relevant. Character is more important than charisma and ability any day and every day. You will win with it, and you will lose without it. Titus, maturity. One of the greatest signs of maturity is when we choose to submit to people in authority, because every leader ultimately answers to God. Philemon, forgiveness. If you want your friends and family members to understand me, forgive them quickly and forgive them often. Few things will reveal who I am and who you are, like your ability to forgive people when they hurt you. Hebrews, mediator. My son stands between you and me. When I look at you, I see him. And that is a good thing for you. He's the best priest and the best sacrifice because he made a way for unholy people to stand in my holy presence. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm really proud of Jesus. And the thing I love about him most is the way he loves to brag about you. James, genuine. If you want to know what to do with your life, take to heart what Jesus' brother has written in this letter. You'll walk away with a clear picture of what a Christian is supposed to do with their words and actions. 1 and 2 Peter, truth. Your ears are bombarded with lies all day. A few things will damage your life like believing those. So to all of my daughters in the room, hear me when I say this. You are not defined by your outer appearance. And let me say that again. You are not defined by your outer appearance. Your beauty is not determined by your weight, your clothes, your hairstyle, or earrings. And when I look at you, I see my image. And I want you to gain confidence and security that you are loved just as you are. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Simplicity. Deep doesn't have to be complicated. Deep can be simple. That's why I love these three little letters. John put my love on a shelf where everyone can reach it. Because what good is love if people can't get to it? Jude. Judgment. Anyone who watches the nightly news knows this world needs justice. But there is a misconception. A misconception that God is going to send people to hell. Truth is that people choose to go there. No one ever ends up in hell without wanting to be there. See, I'm doing everything I can to try and warn them, to make a way for them so they don't have to spend eternity there. But it really is this easy, friends. Pick Jesus or be judged. I cannot and will not pick for you. Revelation. Victory. Have you read the last page of the book? I sometimes wish everyone would read it first. Now, I don't want to spoil it for those of you that haven't read it, but I think you need to know that I win. And because I win, you win too. Yes, I've allowed Satan to win a few battles over the years, but he won't win the war. And trust me, he's going to get what he has coming to him. And I can't wait. I really can't wait to show you what I have in store for you. Your home, your seat at my table, the river, the garden, the trees, all of it. All of it will absolutely take your breath away. So please be patient, because the wait will be worth it. I promise. There's this story about a cardiologist who's in his practice. He had nice chairs in his waiting room, and he'd been in practice for a while, and so it came the time to reupholster the chairs, and he knew of this honest, hardworking man in the community, so he hired him out to do it. And the guy kind of gave him a quote and a timetable, and he got done soon. Got done about midweek, and the chair showed up, and he got the bill, and the bill was only for half of what the quote was. And the cardiologist, not wanting to short this man, who was a hard worker and a great guy, calls him up, and he goes, you didn't charge me enough. And the guy said, yes, I did. It's interesting. It seems that I only had to reupholster the seats of the chairs. It would appear that the posture of people in your waiting room are always like this. They're never like this. The backs of the seat were brand new. See, life wants to get us in a position like this. A lot of things where we don't trust God or we don't want to do those things, and so we'll lean forward. God is telling us through His Word and His creation and His people every day that He's enough, that He has our back, and we can have peace. And the only way to get to peace and have real hope and joy in this life is through that relationship. I love this picture of this 21-week little boy, Samuel. He had a spina bifida, which would pretty much just mean he had a hole in his back, exposing his spinal cord and his vertebrae. And due to the marvels of modern medicine, they were able to go in and work on little Samuel when he's already in this uterus. And while this doctor holds this little one's life in his hands, see the baby holding onto his. I thought, what a great picture of the relationship we should have with God. That while He holds us, we hold on back to Him, no matter what we might be facing. You guys pray with me? Father God, I thank You for this series. Thank You for these tough questions that we continue to want to answer as a church. And I just pray that You would continue to offer us Your ear as you will. You're faithful to do that. I thank You for Your Word that gives us a foundation. sending your son Jesus to die for us on the cross so that we could approach your throne with confidence and unholy people being able to have a relationship with you. I pray that when we have these questions that come up that might get in the way of our relationship with you, that we would search for that answer. I wouldn't allow anything to get in the way of the most important thing of our life, the thing that's going to offer us peace, hope, and joy. And Lord, I don't want to do this life without you. I don't know how to do it. And I pray if there's someone here today that's facing those things, that doesn't know hope or peace or joy, or they would have enough courage to come up and change their life maybe at the cross. I thank you for today. Continue in prayer. Amen.